Welcome to the Ride Like a Mother podcast. You have your hosts here, Shelby and Carolyn, and we're here with Chloe Frisk. So this new mama has been taking this year's barrel racing by storm, all while facing the new challenges of motherhood with her beautiful baby girl, Levy. Your achievements this year have been outstanding, and we are so excited to hear about all of your successes, your new obstacles faced with motherhood, and maybe, if we're lucky, some tips for other mothers trying to put their cowboy boots back on and into the competitive arena. So first and foremost, thank you so much, Chloe, for being here with us today.
Yeah.
We appreciate you taking the time out of your very busy schedule.
Thanks. I'm really honored that you asked me.
Oh, I'm so excited to dig into this topic because I just think it's so important.
Right. And I'm kind of on the same part too, so I'm excited to hear what you have to say. Yeah. But let's back it up right to the start. So tell us a bit about yourself and your background with horses and how you kind of got started into the world of barrel racing.
Okay, so me and my sister, actually, we weren't born into a horse family. It's something that we kind of, I was the first one to get into it because I'm older. I'm 4 years older than JC, but my parents didn't have, like, they weren't horse people really. My mom had, you know, like horses when she was younger, but not like competitively or anything. So I actually started out, I think my aunt, I was trying to remember back how, like, my first experiences with horses, and I think my auntie Pam down the road did have a couple horses that I instantly just fell in love with. And then my other aunt, my auntie Margaret, signed me up for a pony club in Saskatoon when I was really little. I was probably like, oh, I don't even know how old, 5 or 6, maybe 7. And so I went to Saskatoon, and I went to that pony club every summer for a few years. And I actually started out jumping, and I was,
cool.
Yeah, so I started out in the English discipline, and then I actually got my first horse. Oh my goodness, looking back, it's quite a comparison to the horses now. My first horse, oh my goodness, his name was Jeffy, and I think he was 19. And my parents really didn't know, you know, what a good horse looked like or whatever, you know. He was just, my dad kind of asked him to be in town, and they pointed us in this direction. So we got Dusty, and my sister got Sheba. And Dusty was this Arabian cross who was probably 500 pounds overweight. And he had the biggest sway back you could ever imagine on a horse. It was like sitting in a lazy boy. But he was so overweight that he couldn't lope. Like, he would buck if he went faster than it. And he had like pancake hooves, and he had a tumor on his head, but oh my goodness. My sister's horse was, I think she was probably the oldest horse in Canada, and she was, oh my goodness. It's a very stark comparison to the horses I have now.
Mm-hmm.
I've come a long way with the quality of horses.
But it's kind of gotta be. Oh, sorry.
Sorry.
Those first horses, though, they're the ones that start you out. So I
mean, exactly.
I'm grateful for them, but right? Still, I mean, I have my own story of
I know.
Super awesome first horses.
I know, it's crazy. But they did teach us a lot. Like, I had to learn how to. Mm-hmm. I couldn't put a saddle on him because his back was so swayed that it just didn't sit right. And so, if he went faster than a trot, he would buck. So I had to learn to, you know, really stick my seat with him. But he was a good first horse. He was safe. And that is the key to, you know, your first horse. You want them to be safe. You would never bite or kick or anything. And so, and they did teach us a lot, those first horses. But then I had an English coach in the area, and I got into, I went to a couple shows in Brandon, but there was really not very much for English around here. So I then went into 4-H, and my best friend, Kristen McCaw, who I call Tink, she was big into Gymkhana and everything. And so I kind of, you know, entered into the Gymkhana world and switched over to Western, which I found was much more fun. So way more fun. So from there, I just kind of, you know, progressed. And since my parents weren't really into horses, we had to get really comfortable with, you know, asking questions and learning from others. And, you know, I think that's why I'm so comfortable with seeking out help and asking. I still to this day will send my videos to like Rusty or, you know, outside help or like idols or mentors of mine, because I think, you know, I've always said to be the best, you have to learn from the best. And so mm-hmm. I am constantly working on my horsemanship, constantly trying to learn from absolutely everyone that I can, you know, like, for example, I have a full sibling to Don Vandersteen's Futurity Horse this year, and he's 4. That's Phil. He's the 2 front left feet. And I know that Don has had so much success with that line, that, you know, line of horses from Jacqueline Rooks's program. So it had always been my plan to, you know, learn from Don and try and, you know, help Phil along on that road. So I'm actually hosting a Dawn clinic next weekend that I'm taking Phil in, so I can learn, you know, so she can teach me how to beat her, kind of thing.
I'm sure she wouldn't mind if everybody that rode her, those were
yeah. beat her. Yeah, so that's, it's kind of progressed over the years, and I've always, you know, I try to take as many clinics as I can, and I take lessons, and I'm just, you know, I'm always trying to improve my horsemanship, because that is how I've got, like, you know, I've progressed over the years. Because if I hadn't learned to, you know, become comfortable with asking for help and going, pushing myself out of my comfort zone, I wouldn't have, you know, you're stuck at stage one. So I think that's why I'm so encouraging to others. Like, you know, if I see somebody new at the barrel race or somebody that's just like entering into our industry, I try to be as encouraging as I can. I really try to cheer for everybody at the barrel race, whether I know you or not, because I do think it's really important to help others and make them feel welcome. You know, mm-hmm. we want to grow this industry and we want people to feel welcome. So it's always... Absolutely. Something I try to do, whether, so if you hear me screaming for you and you don't know who I am, I mean, just trying to be, you know, you can always hear me at a barrel race. I'm not, you know, it's, oh my gosh. I try not to video people because it's just, it's awful.
That's awesome. I love people like you because I'm so quiet. Like sometimes it's like a squeak just comes out of me when I'm trying to cheer for somebody. Yeah. And like, it's almost embarrassing. I'm like, I really am trying to cheer so hard. Yeah. So I love it when people like you cheer. It's just so awesome.
I can't help myself. Yeah, no,
absolutely.
So excited.
Yeah. So,
and it brings so much positivity, right?
Exactly.
To what seems like such a tense environment. Like, we're all competitive.
Yeah.
Our horses are athletes. We're athletes. And then you throw somebody like you in there, and it's just like, oh, I can do this.
And we can have fun. Right?
Yeah, exactly. Yes. It keeps the mood light. And it's, you know, like our jackpots are very laid back and we all cheer for each other. And I think that's what's so amazing about barrel racing and our sport is, you know, I can't think of another sport where you cheer so loudly for the competitor, the person that you're competing against. You know, the camaraderie in this sport it's just second to none. It's a community. We're really lucky to have it.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
So, okay. I want to know, you're a new mama. You have your first child, daughter. And it seems like you didn't skip a beat. Like, you had a baby and then now you're competing and winning, and it's incredible. But can you tell us a little bit about what you did during your pregnancy that helped you along that path? Because it can be really tough on a lot of people, the pregnancy.
Yeah. So I really didn't know what to expect. So I really took it day by day, but I do love round petting. My friend Molly Kelleher has really helped me with my, you know, round penning skills. I sent her videos and she gives me tips. And she also helped with her and Freddie, usually put the start on my young ones. So, I actually focused a lot on round penning because I didn't have to be on the horses, right? So, and it really, you know, exercises different muscles, and round penning is good for all ages of horses. Like, you know, whenever I would be kind of, you know, not doing that great with Chrome during rodeo season, or like, you know, just, we were just fading back, I'd get him back in the round pen and it would really sharpen him up. Mm-hmm. So, I set up the round pen in the indoor arena, and, I did a lot of round penning throughout the winter. And I also, I did still ride Phil up until, you know, I think 8 months, because Phil's so quiet. He's so, you know, he's just really a good minded gelding, and he doesn't go very fast. So that helps. And he's very safe. I actually, if he was named any, Phil really suits him, but if he was named anything else, it'd be Eeyore, because he's just, that's what he reminds me of.
Nice.
But no, I did a lot of round penning, and I also, you know, spent a lot of time watching videos and doing my homework that way. Like, I watch a lot of Ashley Schaefer videos, who I'm have huge girl crush on. And so I tried to, you know, do a lot of studying up that way. So, and I think that really helped, because I took what I learned from those videos, and I really applied it afterwards too. So, you know, it helped my horses stay in shape. Like, I didn't do a lot of it, but it did help my horses stay in shape, and it kept my mind sharp. So I didn't really know what to expect. Yeah, it worked out for me, and it kept. Yeah.
I think that's important to like keep in the game, because it's kind of tempting, or at least it was for me, to just like completely shut it off. Like, if I can't be competing or really doing it to like 110%, then I'm just going to not even deal with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think doing that, like keeping involved and watching the videos and stuff and getting your brain in the game, makes it like just so much faster when you start again.
Well, exactly. It took the time, and it, you know, it was, for my mental health, I needed to stay with my horses. You know, I needed to have that. And it was perfect timing as well. It was throughout winter that I was pregnant, and I had her in February 18th. So that's kind of the down season. So I didn't have all this pressure to like keep them in top notch, like shape, you know, like it was just kind of keep their legs loose and to get, you know, it was kind of a reward for them to come in out of the cold, come in the arena and, you know, get to roll, get to stretch their legs and all that stuff. So it really was perfect timing as well. I think that's a lot to do with, you know, because if it was like through the heat of summer, like I wouldn't have been 8 months pregnant out in 35 degree weather, catching my horses out in the pasture like that every day. That wouldn't have been, it wouldn't have been fun. So
yeah,
it's a nice combination, good timing and everything. So
no worries. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So you have this beautiful girl, Levy, and tell us a little bit about your journey, because I know Carolyn and I have both been there. I'm still pretty new as well. But tell us about the comeback. Like, it's so hard to get back into riding again post, you know, winter, you're round penning, you're watching lots of videos, but now it's time to put it into action. So once you got the okay from the doctor, tell us how you came back with your horses and what was it like with a new baby girl on your hip?
So it was, you know, it was challenging, especially in the start, because, you know, I did strictly breastfeeding, and I still am. So it was a lot of like, with my rides and stuff, I had to, time it with like when she was sleeping, or I had to like get off mid ride and feed her. But like I couldn't have done it without my mom. Any of this, I couldn't have done about my mom or husband, because they're just so, so helpful and supportive. But my mom would, you know, she'd be up with Levy in Jace's apartment, which is attached to the arena, and she would, you know, just peek out the door and just say, Levy needs a feed, or Levy's up. So I'd get, and I learned to be really efficient with my riding. Like, I, beforehand, I would just be on and, you know, be on my phone, and I do this and I do that, and I brush them and I braid them. No, when you have a new baby, you can't be doing that. You need to be efficient. So I learned to be very like better with my time management, and it's still something that I'm working on. But so I started back riding. I think I got on for the first time. There was a jackpot 2 weeks after I had her, and I really wanted to qualify for our finals, and I needed that jackpot. So I just got on and I just trotted through the pattern. Mm-hmm. And thank God for like Depends and stuff, because I needed them. You know, my pattern was not
real talk.
And I still depend on those things. Okay. Yeah. That helps. Okay.
But, you don't know until you know.
Oh, yeah. Exactly. You don't know until you know. But no, thank God for those. So I just trotted through the pattern, and then 2 weeks later, and another thing that I really needed help with was my pelvic floor was very weak. So I had to do like lots of like cat cows and, you know, the whole Kegels and all that stuff. And I still, mm-hmm. you know, if I ride like say 3 horses, I do get pains in the night, and it's something I have to work on, strengthening my pelvic floor and stuff. And it's, you know, mm-hmm. it hasn't even been a year. It's been, I guess, 8 months mm-hmm. today. Since I've had it. So, yeah. Yeah. So I just slowly, came back with riding, and I would progress with the jackpots and everything. It was kind of good timing that way. And again, the timing was perfect because it's spring and it's, you know, you're starting to leg up the horses and everything. Mm-hmm. But what I noticed most is, you know, was my mental, you know, the mental toughness and my confidence. I just have now a different perspective on things, you know, like nothing else, like, you know, in comparison, nothing else really matters, you know, your baby and, you know, the health of your baby and everything, that is above all what really matters. And I think my mind is kind of distracted by Levy. So I worry less about, you know, if I break this pattern or if I do this or if I'm slow, it doesn't matter. Like, I just had a baby. And so I have an excuse to suck, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that took
have an excuse, but you haven't needed to use
right?
it.
No. But I think just lifting that pressure off myself really opened me up to be more confident, because confidence is something I've always really struggled with. And I feel like it's really held me back with my jockeying and my riding. You know, even like I've been asked to take on trainers, and I don't, and that's not something that I'm, you know, confident enough to do. And I also don't have time for it, but I think one day I will, you know, maybe take that route. But, just my jockeying and everything this year, it's all, you know, everything's just been put into perspective that it really, really doesn't matter how you do, you know, it's not in comparison to being a mom and everything. That's what really matters. So it's, you know, it's a perk when you do good, but when you don't, nobody expects you to, you know, push out a baby and go, you know, but when it does happen, it's really cool. It's this season was just, it all feels like a dream still, because, you know, it's all kind of, a lot of it is all boggled together, and it doesn't feel like it even really happened, because, you know,
absolutely. And
your mind is all over the place. You have mom brain, and mom brain is like, oh my God. And I think that's a blessing for me, because I don't overthink my runs. I don't overthink everything, because I don't have the mental capacity to do that. You know, like my mind is already, it's focusing on Levy, and I'm tired
all the mom things.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And you're kind of mentioning this year. Tell us a little bit about this year, because we know a lot about what happened this year. So yeah. We're very excited for you, but let everybody else know what happened.
So this year I had my hands full. I was running 3 horses for most of the year. I had Chrome, which is my main go-to. And then I had Snoop, which is my, my 8-year-old 99, who, he actually had kissing spine surgery last year. And so this was his first full season that he actually got to compete. And he really, after his kissing spine surgery, he was a different horse. It completely transformed. Like, he was able to show, you know, really do his best. And he was good before, but he didn't have pain restricting him. Mm-hmm. And so he really just, he just kept progressing throughout the season. And he really just, you know, like at Embry Finals, he was third high call coming back to short go. And he had, you know, fourth fast time going into Espiore. Mm-hmm. Short go. He just, yeah, he just, and he's so, so much fun. That horse, like, he's such a low maintenance horse. You don't have to do much throughout the week. You can long trot him a couple times, which I did a lot of because, you know, with Levy, I needed to be able to, you know, keep my horses exercised. And if mom was busy or whatever, I would do, take the side by side and just stick Levy in her, the carrier, or in her car seat in the side by side. So no, having, yeah, exactly. But having low maintenance horses is really nice. Like, and my horses are really, you know, they're really great that way. And then I had my third one was Bougie, and that's my 6-year old. Mm-hmm. And she really just, she just came on this year like no other. She was, she has blown me away. And so mid-season, actually, Chrome got hurt, and it was really hard for me to, because Chrome's, you know, Chrome is my everything. He's my heart horse. So when he got hurt, it was really hard, you know, mentally. He actually tore a ligament, and he's still at like the rehab facility at Elder Sweet Equine in Winnipeg. And I'm hoping he makes a full comeback, but it's going to be a really long process. Mm-hmm. He took a 90% tear to his superficial digital. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So it's, I didn't even, you know, I didn't ask if he was ever going to come back. I didn't want to know that, you know. I had, I believe in that horse so much. I think he will, because he's so determined, and he's not just any horse. He's, you know, he's a lot of heart. So I'm hoping that he makes a full comeback, but it won't be for at least 18 months or so. So that's really hard. And that was really hard on me mentally to, you know, it's a hard pill to swallow.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it was really hard going down the road without him, because he's always been in the trailer, and going to these finals without him was just, it was really, really hard. But my horses, they just stepped up to the plate, and they just, I, you know, I feel like I don't really do much. I just, they're doing everything, and I'm just along for the ride. I'm lucky enough to be along for the ride. So when they go out and they did so good, and Bougie won Espiore Finals, and, you know, was reserve champ at Embry Finals, like, it's all so, it's like an out of body experience, because I just, it's like, I haven't even processed it yet, because I'm just so blown away by, you know, my horse is really pulling through for me, and especially when I need the most. And I feel like horses really know when you need them the most. And I was, you know, I was really upset about Chrome, and it was hard going to every single barrel race without him. But, you know, I always left so happy and proud of, you know, Snoop and Bougie for, pulling through and just showing me that, you know, you don't have to have Chrome here, and we can still have fun, and we can still do great, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And I have to say, watching you and Dawn Vandersteen go head to head at MBRA Finals was very fun.
Wasn't that cool? So, those of you that... Oh my gosh. Yeah.
So no, for those of you that weren't at MBRA Finals, Dawn Vandersteen was riding 3 horses, and you were riding 2, correct?
Yep.
So it was Dawn and then Chloe and then Dawn and then Chloe. And like, they had to run back to back horses. Yeah. That must have been wild.
Oh my God. It was that I've never like, that was such an adrenaline rush, and it was holy. That was a challenge, but it was so much fun. Like, oh my goodness. It was just, I definitely had to, you know, take a minute. Like, I ran Snoop, or Dawn ran, because I was first and third coming back to short go, and Dawn was second and fourth coming back, and it goes slowest to fastest qualifying back to short go. Holy man. So, and Bougie and Snoop are, they're very different styles as well. I have to ride them very differently. You know, Snoop, I have split reins, and I have to two-hand him, and I run him to left barrel, and I have to rate him down at the barrels. Bougie is right barrel and she is pushed out and I have to push her by the barrels. So, and I used single rein with her. And so after I ran Snoop, I had one run to like get over to Bougie, cause Harley, my friend Harley was holding Bougie and helping me with the short go. And I just had to, I got on Bougie and I just had to like let my heart calm and you know, regroup my thoughts and just take a minute. And I just really wanted to soak in the moment too, you know. I really wanted to enjoy. And so I just, you know, I just took an extra minute and just really took a look. It was like an out-of-body experience. I was just like looking at what was happening and how, you know, what a privilege this was to be able to run two horses in the short go back to back, you know, with Don Vanderstein and all the other and all the other amazing jockeys. And it was just, it was really amazing. And I'm glad that I took that extra second and didn't rush myself and really enjoyed mm-hmm. the looking back. Mm-hmm. I vividly remember that moment. It wasn't just all mushed together because I really took my time and I, you know, really enjoyed the moment. And I'm glad I did that. So, but it was something I'll never forget. It was, that was amazing.
It was so cool. And it was so cool to watch because yeah. they're like amazed with jump jockeys. Like I yeah. can't jump jockey to save my life. I am so, but I'm like, you can do it. That's awesome. And for you to do it back to back, like, oh, yeah. and like you said, two completely different horses. That's yeah. amazing.
Yeah. Actually, all my horses, it's funny, you know, some people have all one distinct style or try and stick mm-hmm. to that. And I've realized that all my horses are so different. Like Chrome is so different than Bougie, and Bougie's so different than Snoop. And, you know, even Phil mm-hmm. is going to be a very, like, kind of a slingshot style around the barrels. So it's like, and I try really hard to adapt to their styles rather than, like, you know, making them into my style, because I feel like I haven't really figured out my style yet. You know, it's always mm-hmm. adapting and I'm always learning, and I don't have, you know, a distinct style like some do, you know. So mm-hmm. and I think, you know, it challenges me and it's making me a better rider by, you know, trying to adapt to their styles, you know. So
absolutely. And I find the more interviews we do and the more people we talk to, barrel racing has completely evolved to the point of where you jump on a horse and you work for them, not cool. the other way around, right? Like where it always used to be, yeah, like you said, everybody has the lineup of 10 horses and they all run the exact same because yeah. they've taken the time to create the horse suited right. to them. So yeah. I find that so cool how it's evolved yeah. like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah, no right. kidding.
But okay, so we talked a lot about this actually, but what were your biggest new obstacles you went through as a new mama, all while keeping up the demand of your little one with breastfeeding mm-hmm. and with going through all the emotions with Chrome mentally and then physically keeping your other two horses in shape?
Yeah. So I think the biggest thing was learning to do time management, because I'm not, you know, I don't have the best time management. And I also, another huge challenge for me was, you know, breastfeeding, and I didn't have a huge milk supply. And so, you know, it was always on my mind that I had a Haka, and that's what I've kind of been mm-hmm. using, collect extra milk. And so it was kind of, that was a huge stress for me. I had to have enough milk saved up to go to this barrel race, or else I couldn't go, basically. Or if I didn't, then mom had to come with me, and Levy, excuse me, would be at the barrel race with me. And that was, I mean, it was good when she was there too, but it was night, like lots of people, it was like some moms have it's a challenge for them to leave, you know, their baby behind and go mm-hmm. to a barrel race, or you know, they feel like they have to do it all the time. And something that I learned was, you know, it's important to give yourself that you time, you know, to get away. And, you know, my mom loves having her one-on-one time with Levy, and Chris loves having, you know, dad time with her. And I think that's important mm-hmm. for them to have that one-on-one time where I'm not there trying to, you know, micromanage or trying to, you know, do everything. Cause when you're there, you do feel like you have to do everything, right? It's just, it's mm-hmm. the mom mentality. So, you know, the first few races, like without Levy, I did feel lost, and, you know, having to pump on the road Like I only went to jackpots that were close by. Like I went to Carnduff, or I went to, you know, Elkhorn, or, you know, Brandon, I think was one of the first ones I went to without Levy. And I did have to make sure that I brought a pump. Like I had a hand pump and I had a Hakka that I would put on, you know, before my run and then on the way home as well, because I had to keep my milk supply up. Right. And mm-hmm. I couldn't get, and also, you know, your boobs get engorged and it's like very uncomfortable. Very uncomfortable.
No fun for barrel racing. Yeah,
no, you start to leak and it's very awkward. It is, yeah. It's extra weight for your run.
Yeah. As babies cry in the corner and you're leaking right? all over the place. And you're like, this exactly. is so much fun.
Yeah, I love this. So I actually, it was really nice to be able to get away for those jackpots and have, you know, have that me time and to be able to just focus on my horses. But then the jackpots where she did come along to too, it was nice to have, you know, like it was distraction, but I feel like for me, that's good because I don't want to overthink my runs and I don't want to overthink and, you know, and especially your first runs back, you don't, you get worked up and you get nervous. And I feel like with Levy there, you don't have time to get nervous. You know, you're distracted. So, yeah. You know, that was a challenge and that was something that I definitely adapted to, but it was, you know, and you don't know until the time comes. You don't know if you're comfortable to be riding again. You don't know if you're comfortable to leave your baby behind with, you know, granny or her dad, you know, and everybody's different. So I didn't know what to expect because I had friends that were okay with leaving their baby and I had friends that, you know, wouldn't let their baby out of their sight. And you really just don't know until you're in that situation. But I'm glad that I, you know, pushed myself to be able to, you know, have that me time and, you know, be able to focus on my horses and.
Yeah. I found it very rejuvenating, like refreshing almost to have like a bit of a space and then come back. And it was like, oh, mm-hmm. It's so much more fun to have a baby exactly. when you have a little bit of space.
Yeah. And you feel refreshed. You feel refreshed and you also miss the hell out of them. You're away an hour and you're still like, you get back, you're like, oh my God, my baby, you know? but it's all just, yeah. it was definitely a learning curve. But something that I, throughout the season that I realized I became good at doing was taking lemons and making lemonade, so to say. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and I like kind of challenged myself and I rose to the challenges rather than, you know, kind of backing down. And I'm proud of myself for doing that. And I think, absolutely. You know, that toughness came with becoming a mom. Like if I can push a baby out of my hooey, I can do anything.
Yeah.
So. Yes. Welcome to the motherhood.
Yes.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, so we've talked a lot about motherhood, but and some about your horses, but do you have any other young horses coming up or other horses in the roster, or is it just the three?
No, I do. I have some young ones coming up. I try to always have just buy horses when they're like weanlings or even before they're even born. Like I bought one from Aaron Hagen this year that I pulled Aaron. I messaged Aaron and it was actually one that I was replacing because I had a mare that I bred Mary, her stud BF Streak and Mare Dog too. And there was he came out a little blue roan stud colt. And when he was a year old, he flanked himself and on the gate and spilt his guts across the yard. It was actually quite so I've been waiting for perfect timing to replace him. And I told Aaron that I wanted this cross. I wanted a baby, like my dream baby from Mary would be out of Bailey, which was the Western Fortunes Broodmare of the Year in 2021 and Mary. So I told her that I wanted that cross before it even came out. And then it hit the ground and it came out pitch white with a little red hat on its head, and it's actually colored the red roan, but it is the flashiest unique thing I've ever seen in my entire life.
Wow. And,
yeah, so
very cool.
That was my weanling purchase this year and I'm so excited about that one. It's really a dream cross of mine, and there's the full siblings have all done outstanding and really proven themselves. One was actually Vanessa Leggett's horse that ran at Calgary Stampede. And
sorry, I missed that name. Who is that?
Vanessa Leggett.
Oh, okay. Cool.
She was the Calgary Stampede qualifier with her horse Whiskey, I believe, and that's a full sibling. And then of course Stinker is Aaron's horse that I absolutely love. I love Stinker. So, and then there's a few young ones. Kirstie White has one, and I believe Taylor Manning. So that's a really, it's gonna be, you know, a challenge to ride behind them. But me and Cherry Bomb, that's what I called her, we're gonna and then so I have a Then I have a two-year-old that is a Six Moons Guy colt, and that I got from Janet Mullen. And the dam side comes from, it goes back to like Ray L. Little's NFR mare. And then Six Moons Guy is the sire. And actually, she's got a lot of spice to her, so I call her Bad Janet. And then I have Fonzie, which is a Silky to Fame three-year-old that I'll probably camp on this year, because I sent her to Molly and Freddie, and she has a 2-month start on her. And then I just turned her out because I like to put a later start on them and then just turn them out in the pasture so they can learn to be a horse. And then in winter, I focus on my colts. So she'll be getting the focus this year, as well as Phil, who is the full sibling to Dawn's from Jacqueline Rooks's program.
Nice. Wow, you got quite the roster coming up.
I know. And actually, I actually sold Snoop this year. I just sold Snoop. He's going to the most outstanding, amazing, perfect home. So that's going to be probably the hardest sale of my entire life. But I'm going to see him a lot. And just knowing that he's going to go on and be her number one is really, you know, it's really going to, you know, fill my heart to watch those two. What I've learned is, you know, it's hard letting these horses go, but finding the perfect homes for them and seeing them go on with their new person is such an amazing feeling. So I'm excited to watch them.
So rewarding.
Oh, so
as a rider and a jockey and a trainer, it's very rewarding.
Yeah,
absolutely. So let's reflect back on your season. How did it feel for you? So like winning SPRA finals, I love your pictures on Facebook and Insta with you just looking amazing and your mom with Levy at the end and then Crystal Grad just clapping and cheering for you as if it was her own win. But how did it feel for you and what has it changed going into next year other than your roster now that you've sold Stu?
Oh my goodness. That, like, I can't believe that all of that was captured in photo. Like, wow. It just, even looking back on the pictures, it's just, oh my gosh, gets me all emotional all over again. And seeing, you know, Crystal, she's one of my best friends and how supportive she is. And it was just such a special moment to be able to share with Crystal and my family. And, you know, it was just, it was definitely the highlight of the season. And going into next year, you know, I won't have Snoop and Chrome, I probably won't have either, like for most of the season. So I'm really going to try and focus on Bougie's Derby year, I think. I actually, another one to add to my roster. I did an embryo transfer on Bougie to Slick by Design. So that baby was born in the spring, which is really, that is my dream baby. So I am so excited about that. But instead of breeding her again this spring, which I don't think I'll do because the embryo transfer, it was hard on her. I would like to kind of focus on, it's her last derby year. She'll be 7. So I'd really like to focus on maybe going to some of those derbies, like those, the Yellow Rose and stuff in the spring. I've never really been to those. Mm-hmm. And so I would really like to take Bougie out to those. And I'll have Phil as well, and he'll be 5. So he'll be futurity age. I don't know if he's going to be ready, but I won't be paying entry fee if we still have 2 left feet by then, but he'll get hauled along everywhere we go. Probably I'll be hauling with him and Bougie, and it'll be nice to have, you know, a little, I'll still be running too, but it won't be as high pressure because it won't, you know, or at fast paced. Who knows? Maybe Phil comes through and he'll just be, you know, pass right on by. But yeah, you never know. But I don't know. I might enter some rodeos. I haven't really decided yet. I have to kind of see what it's like with Levy too. You know, she's going to be one and she's a very active child. So when she starts to walk and all that, I'm going to be a very, very busy mother. So I kind of just got to play it by ear. I do have, you know, goals and plans in mind, but it kind of, like I did last season, I just kind of take it one day at a time and see what I'm ready for and what we can do. So that's kind of my plan anyways. A few rodeos, a few derbies. The local jackpots have been great to us this year. So I'm going to try and do that again, maybe. But yeah.
Excellent.
It's a great plan.
So hearing all of this, I know that our listeners are going to want to follow you and get in touch with you and ask you questions and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. So where can they reach you? Where are you online?
So you can message me on Facebook or Instagram. I'm usually pretty active on there and I do get a lot of messages on Facebook and I'm always super happy to help anybody. Like I'm a very, very talkative person. So, and I really, really enjoy helping. So even if you need help with your horse or you have, you know, want to talk mom stuff or absolutely anything, I love talking about it and I'm very, you can literally ask me anything or, you know, I think it's really important that even with postpartum depression and everything that you, that moms really talk about how they're feeling and the challenges they're going through. And I'm always here to talk to anybody. If you don't know me or if you do, like it's, I'm completely open and I love talking to people and helping in any way I can. So just shoot me a Facebook message or Instagram or whichever and I'll be there. So
that's wonderful.
Great. Absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Chloe, for being here with us today on the Ride Like a Mother podcast. I'm definitely taking a lot of what you said to my own house. And it's great. So we wish you all the best for this winter. Hopefully it's a mild one. I'm really hoping that for you. And and I hope that Phil comes along well and the rest of your horses do well for next year. And yeah, thank you very much for taking the time.
Yeah, I really appreciate your candor. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yes.
No, I'm just saying thank you so much for having me. I was very, you know, very honored to be asked to do this. It's not something that I ever, you know, thought I would do, but I'm glad that I did, even though I was very nervous, but no, this is great, great talking to you guys. So thank you so
you
much
don't sound me. Nervous, so there you go. No.
You did wonderful.
Oh, thank you.
Well, thank you, Chloe, and thank you to all of our listeners for tuning in and watching this episode. And as always, send us episode requests to our email or just check us out on Facebook or Instagram and
we'll see you at the next jackpot.
We'll see you.
Okay, awesome. Thanks, ladies. See you guys.
Thanks.